Thank you for listening to the audio podcast of the King's Crossing Church of Christ. To learn more or subscribe, please visit our website at kingscrossingcoc.com.
I entitled the lesson this morning, The Case for the Church. Positive, for the church, not against the church. And I couldn't think of any verse better than the one in Ephesians chapter 5. Because God's intent, this bride of Christ, the church, is a glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and blameless. We're talking about the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things that we are challenged to do, and that I want to challenge us to do today, is to do an inventory. Step 4 in the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous says that we conducted a searching and fearless moral inventory of our lives. We ought to do that for the church. We ought to do a searching and fearless moral inventory. And one of the questions that we've got to ask and hopefully answer is, who are we? Who are we? And don't give those glib, one-line, easy answers. Well, we're the saved, and God adds the saved to the church, and the church is God's family, the church is the body of Christ, and we're the members of the Christ, and we're members of the body, and Christ is the vine, and we're branches on the vine, and we can go on and on. But we're dodging the issue. We've got to go deeper than that. That's why it has to be searching and it has to be fearless. We're going to be looking at our liabilities, but we've also got to consider our assets. And that's one of the big mistakes that people make in working step 4. All they do is list the liabilities. These are all of the mistakes that I've made in my life. These are the dumb things that I've done that I shouldn't have done. We also need to look at our strengths. What are our assets? So when we look at King's Crossing Church of Christ, who are we? What are our assets? And what are our liabilities? Sometimes I try to do it in perhaps the wrong way, but I'm kind of confrontational anyway. And so you throw the gauntlet down and you ask, what right has King's Crossing Church of Christ to exist? What right do we have to be here, to take up this space? You know, in a congregation or in a community, many communities, you might have, say, and for illustration purposes, 4 congregations. You've got the North Side Church of Christ, the South Side Church of Christ, the East Side Church of Christ, and the West Side Church of Christ. Are they all the same? Well, we may say, no, that North Side Church of Christ, you know, they don't believe in having Bible classes. And that South Side Church of Christ, they don't believe in cooperating together with sister congregations in the support of benevolent work or mission work. And the West Side congregation, they don't believe in located preachers. Now, for some of y'all, that takes a little definition. That means they don't believe in having a paid minister on staff. The East Side congregation, they believe in having a located preacher. They just don't pay him very much. Now, I added that last part. I'm here to embarrass our son, Yancey, today. When we moved here, he was 5 years old. And like a 5-year-old boy, he roamed every nook and cranny of that old church building at 4420 South Staples. And after church one Sunday morning, one of the men, it might have been Willie Kosarik, anyway, they were back there counting the contribution. said, "Your son Yancey paid us a visit this morning." I said, "Oh, he did. I wondered where he got off to." He said, "Yeah, he went back there and down underneath the old baptistry in the very back of the building." He said, "What y'all doing?" They said, "Well, we're counting the contribution." He said, "Any of that belong to my daddy?" And somebody said, "Well, yeah, some of it does." And he says, "Well, you want me just to take it to him?" And they said, "No, I think we write a check for that." And he said, "Well, it's not enough." See, I brought my kids up right. He towed the party line. But what right do we have to exist? Or is it all a welcome, a prayer, two songs, a scripture reading, the Lord's Supper, an offering, another song or two, a sermon, an invitation song, maybe some announcements, a closing song, and a prayer? Hey, if that's all we're doing, if there's nothing more distinctive about King's Crossing than this, I challenge us. Do we have a right to exist? What makes us stand out? And before you say, "Well, we're friendly," you know, really, what this ought to be is other people are looking at us and they're saying, "This is what stands out to me about you." It's not what we are saying about ourselves. And sometimes we're real friendly with people that we already know. But what about the newcomer? What about the outsider? What about the visitor? Are we evangelistic? Are we mission-minded? You already know where a significant number of our folks are today in the mission field. And talk about evangelistic. Brother Les Maloney had a study with a couple, and they were baptized Friday, Frankie and Christy Reyes. Is Frank and Christy here, by the way, this morning? We wanted to have them stand up if they were here. Frankie works most of the time on Sundays. He works out at Bolero. Christy is a land man. I don't guess they call them land women, do they, if they're female, for Corpus Christi Land Services. They have four grown children away from home and one grandchild. Christy puts in her middle name that may ring a bell with a few old timers here, Christy Clark Reyes. Remember Steve and Debbie Clark? Talk about a blast from the past. So congratulations to Frankie and to Christy and their baptism Friday, and we want to welcome them to the King's Crossing family. What we're really talking about in this inventory is that we are hopefully beginning to identify what I call our spiritual DNA. You know, it's not like any other congregation. Yeah, there are some similarities as far as doctrine, and we're not talking about teaching something foreign to God's word, but we're talking about a very distinctive difference between this congregation and any other congregation of the Lord's body throughout the world. Just like our physical DNA, just like your fingerprint, just like the workup in the labs of your blood. This is King's Crossing Church of Christ. And what is it that makes us distinctive? Jesus said in Matthew 7:20, they'll be known by their fruits. And so it isn't what we say. The conclusion that you reach to this inventory, it isn't for us to announce this is who we are. This is for it to be very observable and easy to identify. That is our spiritual DNA. And if there is not something distinctive about that, we are on our way out. You know, most of you that know me know I'm a kind of a history nut, particularly when it comes to the church. And one of the things I do when I move anywhere is find out all about the history of the Churches of Christ in that area. And I did that with Corpus Christi as well. My wife and I have begun our 42nd year here in Corpus Christi. And over that very, I call it a short period of time, notice the congregations that are no longer in existence. You know, it is as though we open up the Caller Times and they have a church obituary. Now, this isn't chronological, but just kind of as it comes off the top of my head. Ebony Acres, Church of Christ, gone. Now, West Point Road, Church of Christ, now gone. But West Point Road took over the old Ebony Acres building, and today is Hampshire Road, Church of Christ. Costner Street, Church of Christ, dead and gone. Costner Street, Iglesia de Cristo. Well, they merged with Norton Street, Church of Christ, and now Norton Street, Church of Christ is no more. Air Street, Church of Christ, gone. Lakeview Church of Christ, just down the road here for several years, gone, no longer in existence. Holly Road Church of Christ, gone. The old Flower Bluff Church of Christ, remember when it used to be on the Y out in Flower Bluff going toward the base? Well, they merged with Church of Christ South, and now Church of Christ South is no more. And Gardendale Church of Christ on Staples, close to the malls, got an offer that couldn't be refused. And they sold that building, took the money, and built what we now call Flower Bluff Church of Christ. I don't know how many that is. I wasn't keeping count. But that's all just since Janet and Tashin and Yancey and I moved here in 1977. Who's next? I submit to you it's the congregation that does not do its inventory well, is unwilling to be searching and fearless, is unwilling to come to terms with the assets truthfully and the liabilities, and then it's about what we do with those. The second part of this challenge is to compare our objectives, King's Crossing's objectives as a congregation, compared with the targets set by Jesus Christ. And you know what I'm going to talk about here? I like to begin with Matthew 25 and the hungry and the thirsty and the naked and the stranger and the sick and the imprisoned. And if you like to do things by numbers, that's why I would like to next use Luke 4:18 only in the King James translation, because we get five. And Jesus is quoting the prophecy of Isaiah 61. He's the one that is appointed to come and preach the gospel to the poor, to give sight to the blind, to set the captives free, and to heal the brokenhearted, and finally to set at liberty those that are bruised. You start seeing a target coming more and more into focus. And then in Luke 14, when Jesus talked about making the great feast and sending the servant out because he wanted his house to be full of guests, he said, bring the poor and the crippled, and the lame, or the halt, and the blind. So there's four, six, and five, and four. And what do they all have in common? Luke 5:31 says, those that are well don't need a doctor. So people have felt needs, and we minister to those felt needs. And just as Jesus came to seek and save the lost, Luke 19:10. Remember in his prayer in John 17 to the Father before he goes back? And he kind of gives a report about the men that God had given him. And he said, you've given them to me out of the world, thine they were, and they still remain. And I've given them your word, and they've received your word, and they've kept your word, except for the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And just as the Father sent the Son, so send I them to seek and save the lost. That is the Father's business, and it needs to be our business. Would you say that Jesus, by the life that he lived, by the deeds that he performed, by the sermons that he presented, the parables that he told, that he was outreach-oriented or inreach-oriented? Hands down, outreach. He was thinking about other people. He was thinking about the lost sheep and the lost boy and the lost coin. He was always focused on those that had drifted away from the house of Israel, even God's own select children, and bringing them back to safety. Inreach is when all we're interested in is ourselves and patting ourselves on the back and doing things that please us. And let me tell you, of those two, which is the most attractive? Always Jesus' way. Always outreach. I tell you, there is a question in the mind of everyone that visits a congregation like this one. Now, whether you're from in town, you're new, you're looking for a church home, you're just visiting, you're just passing through, there's a question that's conjured up in our minds, and the question is there a place for me at this church? Even if we know we're not staying, we're moving on. Is there, from our perception, is there a, now we're not talking about, is there room for my car on the parking lot? We're not talking about, is there space on a row? Is there a seat for me? We're talking about, is there a place where God can use me, where I can meet a need, where I can feel fulfilled as a follower of Jesus Christ, that I'm walking indeed in his footprints? That's the question. What's the rallying cry of King's Crossing Church of Christ? Come, help us, and then you fill in the blank. Is it outreach or inreach oriented? Come, help us, and you fill in the blank. We have, regardless of your politics, we have a guy in the White House right now that in 2016 had a rallying cry. Some people don't like it, but it says, make America great again. You see what a rallying cry does? It's almost like a pep talk. And he's already announced for 2020, it's keep America great. What's our rallying cry? Sometimes you've really got to think it through, because sometimes we only have a very brief window or moment. I'm asked sometimes, what's your elevator speech? In other words, someone gets on the elevator with you, you don't know if they're going one floor or 15 if you're downtown. And they may look at my shirt and they see that writing and they say, what's that about? You need to be ready to take advantage of the opportunity. What are we about? What is our rallying cry? It cannot be, come and help us stay the same. Come and help us keep on business as usual. Two songs and a prayer and a song and communion, and you know the routine. In fact, one of the lines that I like the best And I still use it today when I'm talking to someone. I'm so glad that you visited with us. I don't know what you thought when you looked at us, when you listened to us, but I hope you don't reach your judgment based on initially what you observed and heard. We need help. We need you. Think about where King's Crossing could be if you came and helped us in 6 months, 12 months, 18 months. Don't talk about 5 years. That's an eternity. People want to make a difference today. Is there a place for me today? Do you need me? If I come, will it make any difference? Life is so short. And whatever we're going to do to make a difference, we need to get after it. In conclusion, I have three challenges for you. Number one is do your own part to this inventory. This isn't for the elders to do and tell us their verdict. This isn't for a select committee to get together in a room and come out with their findings. But each one of us, who are we? Who are we? What's our identity? Secondly, what three top things do you think we need to do right away, right now? In fact, yesterday, top three things. Then the hardest one of all, number three, is what commitment are you willing to make for it to happen? It doesn't happen accidentally. King's Crossing is what we and the good Lord make it. But he ain't gonna do it without us. We gotta pitch in. We've gotta be willing to make that commitment. So we get to the end of a lesson and we offer an invitation. And maybe there's someone that needs to be baptized. Maybe there's someone that needs to rededicate their life to the Lord. Maybe there's someone that wants to make known their desire to work in worship as a member here at King's Crossing and help us become what we can be with your help in 6 months, a year. Always like to use this illustration, and I promise I won't use it again the next time. But it makes the point so well. The guy that was the golfer, much like myself, could hit it a country mile, just couldn't tell on the directions. So he finds his ball out in the rough on top of a giant anthill. Doesn't bother him, just sort of tees the ball up. So he selects his club, positions himself over it, swings through with a mighty swing, completely misses the ball, kills 10, 20,000 ants. Lines up again, swings through, completely misses the ball, kills another 10, 20,000 ants. This goes on and on. Greatest ant massacre in the history of the world. Finally, two ants come out of the hole, and one of them looks at the other one and says, "You know, if we don't get on the ball, we're going to die." Jack Sawyer with Sawyer George Funeral Home invited me to speak to the statewide funeral home directors at their convention down at the Omni. And I told that story. And in a lively crowd of funeral home directors, that takes on whole new meaning. But I want to close, in case you need to respond, I want to close with the wise words of the gifted philosopher Larry the Cable Guy. Get her done. While together we stand and sing.